This is the Community Forum, a public affairs presentation of the Montrose Broadcasting Corporation.
Bombs, guns, and even vehicles have been used to create a growing number of mass casualty events. This has caused many Americans to become uneasy when going into public places, especially crowded venues. There are steps you can take to protect yourself and your family. James A. DeMeo is author of the book, What's Your Plan? A Step-by-Step Guide to Keeping Your Family Safe. He is here to talk about how to do that. James, before we get into talking about exactly what people should do in the event they find themselves in an emergency situation, tell us a little bit about your background and how it is you came to author a book that explains to people how they should plan for these emergencies.
Absolutely. Thank you for the conversation. James A. DeMeo, 29 years in the security industry, 21 of which I was with the Nassau County Police Department on Long Island, New York. I retired from law enforcement in 2011 and transitioned into my second career. So I've been a published author. I teach for Tulane University, distance learning, and I am a proactive risk mitigation strategist in terms of trying to keep people safe within confined spaces.
And, of course, we've had just a little over a week ago two more tragic incidents of shootings, mass shootings in public places, a Walmart. In one case, in Dayton, Ohio, folks who were just out for the night in a bar on a street enjoying themselves. So I'm sure a lot of Americans, James, are saying, we're maybe a little concerned now about being in a public space with a large group of people. What can people do to prepare themselves for the possibility of an active shooter?
The past week has been tragic on so many levels. You know, El Paso and obviously, you know, Dayton and California, the San Jose area. But I always remind people to, you know, get past the fear factor and be empowered in terms of having a situational awareness mindset on how to best deal with these challenges. So again, I wrote this book in 2017. It's to empower families on knowing what to do when faced with true emergency situations. So I always talk about having a conversation with your family before you go to an event or a place of worship or any type of confined space that you know exactly you know, where you're going to meet. Any event is an emergency. You have a unique code word for your family. You've obviously have fully charged cell phones, but you've created a pre-planned response on how to best deal with these challenges. So in the event something does tragic happen, something is happening, as law enforcement is responding to the scene, you've already created your pre-planned response on how to survive that kind of situation.
Let's talk about specific different areas where folks could be. And let's start out. You mentioned a church, and we did have a mass shooting at the Tree of Life Synagogue in Pittsburgh here last year. And a lot of Americans, many Americans, if not most, do go to church or synagogue or mosque and are in that confined space. So if you find yourself in a situation, James, where you're in a house of worship and a situation with an active shooter arises, what do you do?
Well, certainly you want to be aware of your immediate surroundings, see something, say something, run, hide, fight. But as you enter that space, you know exactly how you're going to get in, how you're going to get out. If there is a fellow parishioner next to you that it looks like they're having a bad day, you need to let somebody in a position of authority within that space know, you know, that there's a potential problem, you know, obviously in your place of worship. But I always talk about just having those key stakeholders, your church leaders, your team leaders, your volunteers come together, know exactly what to do, that they're trained and how to respond to active shooter situations, working with local law enforcement, inviting them down to that site, letting them do walkthroughs and having their own situational awareness to potential problem within that place of worship.
You mentioned that you worked for local law enforcement. What advice do you have for local law enforcement agencies to be prepared? I know in the case of Dayton, James, the Dayton police were on the spot in less than a minute, which is a phenomenal response rate, probably saved hundreds of lives by their preparedness. What should police departments be doing so that they're able to respond in a manner like the police in Dayton did?
They're doing the best they can, you know, with the resources they have. I spent 21 years in law enforcement, certainly. They're trying to get the trust of the public. Again, we can have the largest military and law enforcement agency in the world if we have the American public buy into those public-private partnerships. And again, those mantras of see something, say something, run, hide, fight. But it's really looking for those early attack indicators, you know, that the public, they're aware of things that don't look right. And certainly, again, law enforcement has a very difficult job. They're responding to the scene. In some cases, as you mentioned, they're there within 30 or 60 seconds. As we saw in El Paso, unfortunately, they were not there. It took them a little while to get down to the scene, and the shooter subsequently surrendered. And up to today, I believe there was 22 lives that have been lost as a result of that tragic incident. So it's, again, a collaboration of efforts between the public and law enforcement, sharing information, you know, law enforcement responsibly monitoring social media. And if certainly if there are any key indicators to violence, that the public shares them with first responders and law enforcement, obviously, in a timely manner.
How important is see something, say something in terms of preventing an active shooter situation from occurring? And I'm specifically thinking, James, that at least in the case of the shooter in Dayton, Ohio, there was a rather lengthy history of threats of violence and fantasies of violence. Is there a way for the public to contact law enforcement or social service agencies to alert them to potential threats of that sort?
Well, again, terrific question. It's those partnerships that we talked about, and certainly social service agencies, law enforcement, whatever the public is seeing on social media, if it's alarming to them, to reach out to their local first responders. Again, we have those fusion centers. We have the JTTF. We have from the top down and the bottom up. What we saw in Parkland, again, there was some missing links. So there were the early attack indicators towards violence. So we can't just think that somebody else is going to take care of the problem. We have to come forward as a nation and share that information. One of the things that I learned in law enforcement is everything is the real thing until proven otherwise. So if we share that information, you know, we have law enforcement, the authorities properly vet that, you know, we'll err on the side of being cautious during very difficult, trying times.
The one type of situation we haven't discussed is if you are at a sporting event or a concert in a large stadium or outdoor venue, are there any special steps that you should take for you and your family to protect them if you're in that situation?
Well, yes, that's a great question. It's chapter one of my book. And when we look at sports and entertainment venues, we're looking at confined spaces. We look at the Las Vegas shooting. No one could figure out why the shooter did what he did. So in the security industry, it's known as a black swan event, unprecedented, 32 floors up into confined space. But when you go into those spaces, you know exactly where you parked your car. You know that you went through gate A, as an example, fully charged cell phones. You have the clothing descriptions of your children just in case they wander away from you. You're monitoring and enjoying the event, but at the same time, you're utilizing social media inside the stadium to send a text, let's say, to the command center if something seems out of the ordinary. But again, these confined spaces, we're dealing with, you know, potential choke points and bottlenecks as people are ingressing. As you're going through and getting screened, that is a prime target for a terrorist activity on the way in and certainly on the way out. In the Barclays Center in 2012 with AEG, so you can imagine 18,000 Brooklyn Nets fans, you know, coming out of a basketball game, going down into a subway. So that flows into a mass transportation zone. So these are all potential vulnerabilities for sports stadiums and venues throughout the United States.
We have been talking with James A. DeMeo, who is author of the book, What's Your Plan? A Step-by-Step Guide to Keeping Your Family Safe During Emergency Situations. James, I'm sure this is something that most Americans are interested in these days. So where can they go to find your book?
We are on jamesadimeo.com, jamesadimeo.com. We are on Amazon. Feel free to reach out to me. I'm on social media. I'm doing everything I can. But obviously, these kinds of conversations with media leaders like yourself can get the message to, obviously, a larger audience.
James A. DeMeo, author of What's Your Plan. James, thank you for being with us.
Yes, sir. Thank you so much. Take care.
This has been a presentation of the Montrose Broadcasting Corporation. The views expressed on the community forum by our guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect those of the moderator, staff, or management of this station.